encouraging, uplifting. It seemed like somebody stayed up all night and just kept on singing. And we taken up where we left off last night. It is certainly a blessing to be in Wichita, Kansas, a place that's not a strange place to us. As Brother Gainey said, we too have developed some friendships here that we can brag about that has lasted over 44 years. And I'm grateful to be back in Wichita to be a part of this weekend's activities and the next two or three nights. I want to thank Brother Gainey and the eldership here for allowing me this opportunity to come and be a part of your exciting weekend and the next few days of a gospel effort. It is always a pleasure to be in the house of God. One writer said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hope everybody is as glad as I am this morning. Sometimes we can, as Brother Gainey mentioned in the Bible class this morning, do things over and over again till they become kind of second nature. And we don't value their importance. But you know, there are a lot of people this morning laying on beds of affliction, being confined to whatever their situation is, that would love to be right where you are this morning. So I just want to say right off the beginning that we are happy to look out and see those who've thought enough of the Lord to say, I'm going to lay aside what seems to be important to me and may seem to be important to others and go do what it is the Lord has commanded me to do. Now, as Sister Clemens and I come your way, we come with a lot of love in our hearts. And that's based on the fact that we know we're around people who are just like we are. People who might have known the Lord for a number of years and who are still holding on because you trust God. You know that He is faithful to keep every promise that He has made to us. And regardless as to what you've been through, regardless as to the ups and downs that you've been doing, you know that God is faithful. And because He's faithful this morning, I can look out and I can conclude without any contradiction that God has been good to you. I don't have to go around and ask questions. I don't have to do any research. I don't have to listen to hear you all say how you're feeling and what you're doing. I can just look and tell God has been blessing you over your lifespan. And so since God has blessed us in such a wonderful way, it's only fitting this morning that we would take a little bit of time, set aside this special time, and to not forsake the assembling of ourselves, but come as He has commanded us to do and offer sacrifice of praise to Him. This morning, I'm going to invite your attention to a subject that I've developed, maybe something that some of you have been looking for, and it may be something that some of you have already found. If you've already found it, hold on to it. If you haven't found it yet, perhaps I may be able to offer some suggestions as to how you may be able to find what you've been looking for. Scripture text comes to us this morning from 1 Peter chapter 3. The verses are 8 through 12. And as those verses are being reread this morning, I want you to pay close attention to where Peter is leading us as he talks about some things that we should not do, as he talks about how the Lord looks at what we do, and then, of course, he closes these verses that we are concerned about by saying unto us that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, my assumption is this morning I'm looking in the faces of all good people. I'm not looking in the faces of evil people. But if by chance someone slipped through the door and is sitting beside you this morning, I'm hoping that they will be made so uncomfortable that they will decide I want to become a part of the peacemakers rather than the peace breakers. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse number 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rending evil for evil, or railings for railings, but contrariwise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Amen. This morning I've jotted down some thoughts that I've entitled Some Steps to Happiness. Some Steps to Happiness. Y'all happy this morning? Amen. I hope you are, because you are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. And because we are blessed, that's reason enough to be happy, even if the Lord doesn't do anything else for us. We have truly been blessed. Often people make their own lives miserable, and other people help them find the misery. And somebody came along behind that and said, you know, misery likes company. And if you are a person who is walking around daily complaining and miserable in your lifestyle, you won't have to go very far to find somebody who will join up with you and who will say to you, I'm glad I found you, because that's the way I feel all the time. Well, I want to say to us this morning that being members of the body of Christ, becoming a child of God, is the greatest thing that has ever happened to any of us. There's nothing in comparisons that brings the joy and the peace and happiness as being a child of God. Abe Lincoln said this: most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. Are you laying out a plan for your happiness? If not this morning, let me suggest some things that will help you in your planning. And I believe it's important that we put first things first. The first suggestion to put on your list this morning is, if you truly want to be happy, you and I need to always trust in God. Amen. Trust in God, because God is faithful. He may allow us to experience some challenges in life. He may allow us to go through some down spots in life. He may allow us to lose some things in life that are dear to us. But everything that God does in our behalf is always working toward our good. And so if you want to be happy, begin by trusting in God. A great man of wisdom told us on one occasion to trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. You know, that's good advice, isn't it? It's easy to trust in one another, because we can look at folk and we can kind of follow their trail of action. And we say, well, you know, I've known them to be good folks, and so I'm just going to trust them. But you know, there come times in life when even some people that are best and close to you may disappoint you when you're going through things and they don't want to join up and be a part of your suffering. And so when we learn to trust in God and lean not unto our own understanding, but in all of our ways then acknowledge him, the Bible says he will direct our paths. What path are you walking down this morning? Some of us don't know what a path is. Let me paint a picture for you. This is no new news to you. I know all of you have heard me say, I was raised in the country. I was raised in the country where there were dirt roads, pine trees, birds that fly, animals that roam, and a lot of hard work going on. But you know, after the work was completed, we would go and visit one another, being country folk. And if you went to visit relatives or friends enough, that was cut out a little path that you followed. And if you wanted to get there, you close your eyes, just follow that path, and you could find your way. You know, the path that the Lord has laid out for us is as clear as the picture on your face. But we have to become acquainted with the GPS of the roadmap where the information is found. I submit to us this morning that as we begin to plan for a happy life, always trust God. I don't care how severe, how drastic, or how down your life becomes. Never give up on the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 20, we find these words. He who heeds the words wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. If you're looking for some happy folk this morning, hang around people who really trust the Lord. I'm not talking about people who know the Lord's name. I'm not talking about people who once in a while when they get in trouble, they'll say, oh, Lord. I'm not talking about people who when things are going good, were saying, oh, how good God is. But I'm talking about people who, regardless as to what they deal with in life, they know that it's all because of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God puts us through difficult things in life. But what I'm saying is that the Lord allows us to go through things to make us stronger and better people, and also to help us to see who we really depend on when the chips are down. This morning, if you really want to be happy, trust the Lord. When we trust the Lord to guide our lives, we will experience a peace which the world did not and cannot give us. There are all kinds of enticements in the world. And there's a man that we read about by the name of Solomon. He experienced about everything that you and I will ever have an opportunity to experience. But when he reached the ultimate end of his life, Solomon wrote that the world is all vanity. Yeah, all of this stuff is vanity. And so if you are a person who really want to be happy, don't get caught up in the things of this world. The Bible says all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In any one of these three things, can get you off your path, can take you down another and a different trail, and will cause you to lose the happiness that you can and would enjoy. When we trust in God to guide our lives, we will experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus used these words in the book of John, chapter 14 and verse number 27. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, we often use this passage of scripture in the book of John when we're getting ready to bury somebody, don't we? But you know, you don't have to be ready to die to be able to appreciate this peace that the Lord is talking about. He told his disciples, now I'm finna leave you boys, I'm finna go away. I've already trained you what to do and how to deal with things. But as you are facing with different circumstances in life, he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Why? Because I have left my peace with you. Now when we have the peace of God in our hearts, every little thing don't upset us. Every little thing don't cause us to lay down our faith. Every little thing don't cause us to part and separate with good friendships and relationships we have with people. You know, the Bible sometimes uses the expression, and this too shall come to pass. And I've developed a thought from that helps me. And when I'm going through something that I don't enjoy, I conclude that this too shall come to pass. Very few things come to stay. Now, usually they stay if we hold on to them. But if we work with God and we allow him to work in our lives, all of these things too shall come to pass. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Anybody worrying this morning? If you are, I hope you're ashamed to hold up your hand. It's contrary to the will of God for his people to go around worrying about stuff. And I know that it's the kind of thing that causes a lot of people to develop physical conditions because they worry about stuff. Now, if you want to really put yourself in the hospital, and you start worrying about everything that you don't have no control over. And those are usually the things we worry about. Stuff that we have no control over. If there are things that we have control over and we can remedy them or fix them, go on and fix them and then go on about our business. But if there are things that are beyond our control, beyond our ability to repair, then we put it in the hand of the Lord and we still go on about our business. So the choice is ours this morning. Don't be anxious for anything. And then Paul concludes by saying, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guide your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to think this morning along the line of the fact that trusting in God will always bring us joy and contentment. And then the second thing that I want you to put on your list this morning, if you are really looking for happiness, learn to relish or cherish the scriptures. There are scriptures in the Bible that will help us to deal with whatever we go through in life. Someone has taken the time, and you perhaps about any Bible that you purchase that is of any value, they've listed areas of scriptures that you can read when you're going through things. Now, that's a good place to start. But now, in order to improve and increase your comfortableness of going through challenges in life, it's good to commit these things to memory so that when something goes awry in your life, you can say, well, I can turn to John chapter 14 and verse number 6, and the Lord says, don't worry about it. Let not your heart be troubled. If I'm going through some things that I have no control over and I want circumstances to change in someone's life that I'm concerned about, the Bible just tells me to pray always without ceasing. May I pause just for a moment to drop something this morning. Got a text regarding a young man that my wife calls her son. Had an aneurysm last weekend. And of course, they took him to the hospital. And when I saw him on Thursday morning, it looked like he was improving and coming back this way. And they were transporting him to a different facility to get some therapy. Well, we got a text this morning that he kind of went backwards. And he's back in intensive care. So I'm dropping this on you this morning to ask you to pray for Nikki Walker. Nikki Walker, young man about middle 50s, loves the Lord, does a lot for the cause of Christ. He loves people. And we were looking at him as becoming a great asset to the congregation. But sometimes, you know, we can plan things, but God can replan. And so we want to ask you to pray for Nikki. Pray for his siblings, because he has several siblings that are concerned about him. But as we pray for one another, this is also within the will of God. Now, if you are a person who knows the value of prayer, when you pray, you don't pray saying, Lord, bless me and my four and no more. You ask God to bless you, your family, and everybody that you're concerned about. Because what? When we are down, what do we want? We want everybody to pray for us. And so prayer makes a difference in the life of a Christian. We learn to trust the value of what prayer can do. And of course, the older folks, and I'm an older folk now myself, but the older folks said prayer changes things. How many of you believe that this morning? All right. We still got people who believe that prayer changes things. Because no doubt we've all been in situations and we didn't know how to go about remedying or making that situation better. And there was no other alternative but to talk to the Lord about it. And you give it some time on God's time. When he got ready, he turned that thing around. He made it better for you and I. And he let us see some more light at the end of the tunnel. In Psalms 119 in verse number 163, the writer says, I hate and abhor lying, but I love the law. What is he talking about? He is talking about an individual who has the tendency to be untruthful. But the writer is saying here, I love the law. He's talking about the law of the Lord. Because the law of the Lord will guide and direct us throughout the challenges that we face. Yes, Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, Jeremiah writes, your words are found, and I ate them. And your words were to me the joy of rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Now many of the Old Testament patriarchs and writers leaves with us some words of consolation as it relates to relationship with God. As Christians, we have reasons to rejoice in the law of the Lord. One writer says, in thy law doth I meditate both day and night. How long has it been since you meditated on God's word in the daytime as well as at night? Or do you just look forward to lunching into it when troubles come? He says, I meditate on it day and night. Why? Because it gives comfort in time of trouble. The word of God will do that.